That was wonderful, wasn't it? Fantastic. Just gets better and better. There was a link between showing the Scrooge and having my dad tell his story this morning. There is some similarities there. And the similarities are age. And it's great, isn't it, to see people in their later life finding Christ. I wonder whether you picked that up. He was 60 years old when he finally gave his life to Jesus Christ. Obviously, he's had 17 wonderful years since then with Jesus, who is obviously trying to say something to us right now. But it's a wonderful thing when older people find Jesus Christ. And I did feel the Holy Spirit of God speak to me a couple of days ago about how he wanted to speak to people in the room this morning who are older, and he wanted to encourage them this morning to make their commitment to Christ while they still have the opportunity. The great thing about Scrooge's story is that while he still had the opportunity, while he still had breath in his body, there was the opportunity to change. And it's fantastic to have the opportunity to change. It's great to change when you're a younger person as well. It's fantastic to come to Christ when you're young. At the moment, we're doing this Alpha course in King's Academy for a group of about 10, 17-year-olds. And it's absolutely delightful. It's fantastic just to see young people seeking God. And I came to Jesus Christ when I was 17. And I'm looking at them thinking, was I really that young? Because they just looked so young. But at the time, I knew what I was doing. It was a decision that stuck. So by the time you're 17, you can definitely make that lifelong decision for Christ. And it's absolutely wonderful to see them week by week. They've heard what the youth culture has to say. They've heard what the television has to say about life. But you know what? They're not convinced. And they've heard what adults and maybe the parents and whatever have to say. And they're not convinced. They want to find out for themselves. That's why so many young people come to Jesus Christ. So many of us find Christ when we're young. Because when you're young, you don't just accept the system and what everyone else says is important in life and so on. You question it, which is very healthy. That's how people find God. They don't just go with the flow with the blinkers on. They ask the questions that matter. And so most people come to Christ when they're young people. And I'd love you to pray for these 10, that they all find Jesus Christ by the end of this course, because it will just see them right, won't it, for the rest of their lives. Wonderful to know your sins forgiven and to know you're right with God and to get on the right track early in life. So you're not looking back on years and years of regret that you missed something so important. But God's so good that even in the last years of our lives and later on, it's just wonderful to find God and have all that past forgiven and to be right with him. That's what this morning's about being right with God and whether you're right with God or not. And I'm going to give you an opportunity when I finish speaking in a few moments to get right with God publicly by getting out of your seats and to come stand down the front. And by that act of public commitment, you're saying to God, I want my sins forgiven. I want to know Jesus Christ personally. I want to know I'm right with God. I want to know I'm going to heaven. And if you're not sure that you are, today is a very, very significant day for you because you decide that. You know, you speak to people sometimes and they say, I wonder whether I'll go to heaven or to hell. Well, you decide that. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you decide that. People say, well, when I die, I wonder what God's decision will be about me. That decision is made today. Now, you make that decision. God's already made his decision, what he'd love to have very clear. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, God was displaying to the whole world, for the whole of human history, that his will for you is to be saved, to be forgiven, to go to heaven, to be right with him. But you've got to come to Christ. God's decision is already made. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to be saved. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. but you have to call on the name of the Lord. Whatever your age, some of you know there was an older lady in her 80s actually started visiting our house called Mary. I started calling her Old Mary for some reason. The kids picked this up, and one day she rang up and one of the kids picked up the phone and she said, "Dad, it's Old Mary." I went and picked up the phone. She said, "So I'm Old Mary, am I?" And she was just walking past our house one day, and Margaret was getting the shopping out of the car, as usual. And she just smiled at this old lady, hobbling past. And she stopped and started to talk, and she started coming in to our house. And she'd had a really terrible life, this lady, during the 80s. And she used to come around the house quite regularly just to have a cup of tea. She said, to experience some peace, which makes us laugh because we've got 8 kids, so you can imagine there's not that much peace. Well, not that type of peace. Anyway, they'd grab a stick as soon as she'd come in and be climbing on her knee. But she said she experienced peace. I'm sure what she meant was she experienced something of God's presence, God's peace. And we'd pray for her and talk to her about Jesus Christ. And she died a fortnight ago. And we went to a funeral last Saturday, the Saturday before last. Saturday morning, and that really cold Saturday morning, it was frosty everywhere, and Margaret and me went to a funeral. We met a sister who was the absolute double of her, unbelievable. And but you know, I was concerned actually about whether we'd been clear enough with Mary about Jesus Christ. I was wondering myself actually where she was, even to the funeral. I wasn't quite sure, and when we got in the car, we drove out of the car park, we're driving back home, and you know something? Then I remembered, it came back to me like a flash. I'm sure it was God reminding me that Mary had made a public decision for Christ. We picked her up one day. The irony was, this was a youth meeting we were running in Middlesbrough. God's sense of humour. We had a special meeting in Middlesbrough. We don't normally have them. We had a meeting in the Hexagon Theatre. And there was dancers and flashing lights and loads of volume. And Mary just happened to have nothing to do and be passing our house as we were going. I said, "Mary, do you want to come along?" And she said, "Yeah." And she came along and she was sat. How she coped with it, I'll never know. She sat on the front row. And we were preaching about Jesus and about giving your life to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God reminded me. I saw her stand up from a seat on the front row and move to the front at the end and stand right at the end. The stage was about that high and stand at the end. She made a public decision for Jesus Christ, and I was at peace. I knew where she was. It was only a couple of feet, but it was the difference between hell and heaven. I don't know how many feet you're sat from the front here, but it's a huge distance when you're giving yourself to Christ. And I'm going to ask you today to make absolutely certain that you're right with God, especially if you're in the older years. Because it's so important. And if you're young and you know you're not right with Jesus Christ, the opportunity is for you as well to make a public decision for God, which is so absolutely important. This is the scripture I just want to share with you for a few moments. Matthew chapter 1, nice Christmas scripture. It's the angel speaking to Joseph, encouraging him to marry Mary and not to worry, that the baby in her was from God the Holy Spirit. And the angel says to Joseph in verse 21, Matthew 1, "She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. It's the Greek of the Hebrew name Joshua. Yeshua, the name Jesus means the Lord saves. His name means salvation. That shows you what Christmas is all about. That shows you why God sent his son in the first place. His name says it all. The name of Jesus Christ. When was the last time you sincerely, from your heart, called on the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you appreciated what he came for, what he did for you? It says in the Bible that this is the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. That every knee in heaven and on earth, that's the whole of human history, will bow to Jesus Christ. Every knee. Have a look at your knees for a moment. Yeah, those knees. Every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. You're going to bow before Jesus Christ one way or another, every one of us. Either you'll bow in gratitude now and repentance, like Scrooge did on his knees, or you'll do it later in regret, stood before the judgment seat of Christ. This isn't a joke. This isn't some fairy tale made up by Disney. This is going to happen. You're going to be there. You are coming to Jesus Christ one day, either today, here, now, or another day. Either by choice or by summons, you're coming to Christ. And you need to know that you are right with God. And I'm asking you, I'm giving you a wonderful opportunity. People say to me, do you ever get bored of preaching the gospel? Do you ever get bored of saying the same thing? You know what? Never. Never. I had the privilege in September of travelling with Bob Keir. We were over in Italy and we came back. And on the plane, I was watching the air stewardess. Better qualify that, better now. Because they're always beautiful. But I was watching the air stewardess doing the usual stuff. You know. Well, all the stuff they do. You know what? I was watching them and I thought, they're so well trained, aren't they? They're so dedicated to sharing that little bit of information because they understand the critical importance of that little piece of information. When that plane's going down, that's the only bit of information that matters. It's critically important. And I'll tell you, what I'm sharing with you this morning is absolutely critically important for your salvation, for your eternity. You need to know that you're right with God. And the Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's wonderful good news. Lord, the Lord loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you a new heart and a new nature and take away the bitterness and the anger and whatever else holds you back and give you a brand new heart today. That's what happens when people get born again. They get a new nature from God. Stuart Bray, many of you know, he came to Christ, I think he was 37, so he lived a reasonable time without Jesus Christ. And after his brother was dying of cancer, he was convicted about thinking about God, and he went home from the hospital one night, and he lied in his bed one night, and he just did this. He just called on this name, Jesus, the name above every name, sincerely from his heart. He lifted his hand from his bed and said, Jesus, come into my life. He was telling me in my kitchen the other day in tears, just remembering that, saying, and I just said, Jesus, come into my life. And he came in. And everything changes. That's what happens when you come to Christ. That's why it's such good news. Wonderful news. I heard about a woman the other day that went to see a psychiatrist. She was full of anger, full of bitterness, full of pain, full of torment. She went to see a psychiatrist every week for a year. And he was talking to her about transference, about transferring her emotional anger onto him and so on. She said, the only thing that transferred was my money from my bank account to his. And this woman, this is a true story, after a year of seeking psychiatric help, she was just walking down a street in London and someone offered her a piece of paper that invited her to a service like a service today. And it was for All Souls, Langham Place. And she went in and John Stott was speaking. The gospel, just what you're hearing today. Just speaking about Jesus and his love for people and his willingness to forgive them and save them. And she came forward at the end and she went into a little inquiry room and she said, in that inquiry room, someone prayed for me. And right there, all of my problems were dealt with. Because she needed forgiveness. That's what you actually need. The greatest need in your life isn't a new partner and a new car and a new. It's forgiveness. It's having all your sins washed away and being right with God. And Christians as well. You need to be challenged. So let Jesus deal with your sins. He saves from sin, it says. Call his name Jesus, who will save his people from their sins. Who does he save from their sins? His people. That's the issue, you see. People think everyone's going to heaven. People think everyone's going to be saved. The Bible never, ever says that. Jesus never said that. He saves his people from their sins. Do you belong to Christ? Have you given your whole life to Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered completely to Christ? I could ask people in the church. I could ask young people, older people. Many of us just still play with sin and toy with sin, and we haven't really repented. We're not really ready. I was reading the other day about where Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, I never knew you. I never knew you. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? That's a good question. I'm not asking whether you come to this church or whether you're in a small group. I'm asking you personally if you really know Jesus Christ. And is he saving you from your sin? Because that's the issue. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a godly, religious man. But you know what? He went to see Jesus, and the first thing Jesus said to him was, you must be born again. Do you know what? You stand Nicodemus against you, and he would look good. Because he was a righteous, holy, older man. He'd been to church all his life. He tried to live by the commandments. And do you know something? It's not enough. It's not enough. You need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ to forgive you from your sins. That's it. There's nothing else apart from that. And that's what he wants to do for you today if you let him. He'll help you repent and give up the lifestyle that you're leading now, which might be a so-called Christian lifestyle. But you know you're not living the life that God wants you to live. Or you know you're not born again, and he'll help you be born again and give you a new nature. It says he saves his people from their sins. Have you been saved from your sins? Let me read to you what the Bible says sin is. Jesus says, Paul says in Galatians, the wrong things of the sinful nature are very obvious. Being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshipping false gods, getting involved with witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, feeling envy, being drunk, being wild, being wasteful, and things like this. And Jesus says, almost exactly the same in his own list. Let me read you that one. Jesus says, these are the things that make a person unclean. They come from within a man, out of his heart. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual sins, stealing, lying, speaking evil of others. These are the things that make a person unclean. I know today God wants to forgive us and to cleanse us and set us free. Christian, I want to say this to you. No one will see the Lord without holiness. That's what the Bible says. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You can think what you like. You can say what you like. But I tell you this, no one will see the Lord without holiness. Now, how would you describe yourself? Maybe the word holiness wouldn't even be in your dictionary. But holiness means being separate from sin. Now, this morning, God wants to forgive us, help us, and give us a new life. That's exactly what he wants us to do. Jesus Christ loves you. He laid down his life for you. At Christmas time, I can't help always remembering that story of that butcher in Great Ayton. Many of you know that story. About 20 years ago, the butcher in Great Ayton, it was a winter time. He was working in his butcher shop, and he looked out of his window and he saw a young girl slip off the wall into the half-frozen river. And probably didn't have a second to think about it. He was out from behind his counter, out of the shop, across the road, down across that little bridge, many of you know it, up on the bank, and he jumped off that wall straight into the half-frozen river. And he grabbed that little girl and he saved her life. And he pushed her onto the wall. And other people had seen her come over. And they grabbed her. But this butcher died. The shock of being in the freezing cold water was too much for him. As he tried to climb out of the water, he had a massive heart attack and died. You know, Jesus said, greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friends. I wonder what that little girl thinks when she remembers that man and what he's done for her. I bet she's grateful every year. I wonder how old she is now. I often think about that. I don't know how old she will be now because I don't know how old she was at the time. But I know this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for every single person in this room. And I'm asking you what you've done about it. Whether you appreciate that. Whether you regularly get on your knees and thank him for it. Or whether you've never even bothered. Well, today, you've got an opportunity to put that right. Today, you've got an opportunity to come to Christ right now. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone in this room that you'll give them the courage and the conviction to give their lives to you now. And as the band comes and plays, I'm going to invite you now, you can come with a friend if you need to come and stand here at the front. And in coming, you say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to know for sure. I don't want anyone else to be leaving the room or any of the distractions. This is a very important moment. Please honour this decision. For some people in this room, I believe older people, you may never get an opportunity like this again. And this is your moment. And if you want to give your life to Christ and make sure that you're right with God, or if you're a Christian and you know there's sin in your life and you want to end it and live a holy life, you come and stand on this side. And if you're a person who wants to give their life to Christ, you come and stand over this side as the band plays. You can begin to come now. You don't have to wait for the band. If you know you need to be here, come now. Move out of your seat and come and stand. Okay? We're going to pray together now. Let's all pray out loud so that you can hear the prayer. If you've responded today, you need to hear this prayer yourself. So you can follow me. We'll pray out loud. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads before Jesus now. Pray after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me for all my rebellion and for all uncleanness. I thank you that you love me. And you died for me on the cross so that I can be forgiven and spend eternity with you. And I ask you now, Lord Jesus, to come into my life, to give me a new heart and a new start. I ask you to give me your nature. I ask you to break the chains of sin. I ask you to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me now and give me the strength to keep this commitment to Christ and to follow you every day of my life from this moment on. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you want to move over this way, everyone go over that side. There's somebody who wants to talk to you. You know, make it clear what you've come for, whether you've come for repenting of sin or whether you've come to give your life to Christ. So everyone over that way, is that okay while we sing? Let's stand together and we'll keep singing this as these folks get some prayer and some information, and then we'll end the service. Let's stand together.